بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Most respected elders and friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In our last discourse, we discussed dealing with non-Muslims. We discussed Shariat recognizes ownership of a non-Muslim. And an example was given of the tyrant ruler having given Hazrat Hajra radiallahu ta'ala anha as a gift to Sara radiallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Sara radiallahu ta'ala anha accepted that gift and gave Hajra as a gift to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. It is through this we understand Sharia recognizes ownership of a non-Muslim. We also discussed when dealing with non-Muslims, we are not obliged to inquire from them their source of income. Despite the fact that we know that they don't know anything about halal and haram. They would probably buy wine and alcohol. They would deal in interest and usury. They would buy haram meat and deal with haram meat. But when dealing with us, we do not have to inquire from them, what is your source of income? Yes, of course, if we know that a particular source of income is completely haram, according to Islamic standards. For example, they have stolen an item. Or they have committed fraud. And with that same item they wish to deal with us, now it will not be permissible to deal with them. Today we continue with our discussion in dealing with non-Muslims and few other aspects pertaining to that. We will then proceed to another topic about selling the skin, the hides of an animal that have died a natural death. If an animal died a natural death, that animal is haram. That is regarded to be a carrion, it's a meita. What can be done with the skin of such an animal? Yes, we cannot eat the meat of that animal, but can we make use of the skin of that animal and when? Second, can we sell that skin? We'll also be discussing about what should be done with the skin of the qurbani meat, of the qurbani animal. And lastly, we should also be touching on the issue of gelatin and the Sharia perspective of gelatin. When is gelatin permissible? When is it not permissible? On the first issue, dealing with non-Muslims, there are four types of relationships with a non-Muslim. The first is Mualat. This term is mentioned in the Quran and the Ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It means a very close bosom relationship. Such a close relationship that you could compromise on your Islamic values and your principles. This type of relationship with a non-Muslim is not permissible. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء. O you who believe, do not make the Christians and the Jews, this is by way of example, Christians and Jews, otherwise any non-Muslims, do not make them close bosom friends. And in doing so, you may risk your iman, you may risk compromising on your Islamic values and your principles. The second type of relationship with the non-Muslims is Muasat. Muasat would refer to sympathizing with non-Muslims. Islam is the religion of akhlaq, character, conduct. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reported to have mentioned, the person with the strongest iman is the person that shows best character and conduct. And this is not confined to Muslims, even to non-Muslims. And in fact, the Sharia, Quran Kareem tells us, لَا يَنْهَاكُمْ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ, that those people that did not fight with you, وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ, they did not take you out from your land, أَنْتَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِتُوا إِلَيْهِمْ, you can do acts of virtues to non-Muslims. And Sharia tells us to be just and fair to them. So if a non-Muslim is going through some kind of difficulty, hardship, you need to help and assist him, to sympathize with him, then within the limit of the Sharia, it is perfectly permissible and in fact encouraged. The third type of relationship is called mudarat, where you are kind to a person. You are polite to a person. Being kind and polite is not confined to Muslims, it is also for non-Muslims. And in fact, in our mu'amalat, in our dealing, we should be more kind to non-Muslims and use that as a means of dawah. Look at how Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dealt with the non-Muslims. Makkah Mukarramah was conquered. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is standing by the door of Kaaba Sharif. And one of the representatives of the kuffar of Makkah asked Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, now that you have conquered Makkah, you are here the leader, how are you going to deal with us? So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that my answer to you is the same as the answer of my brother in prophethood, Yusuf Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. Brother of Yusuf Alayhi Salatu Wasalam put Yusuf Alayhi Salatu Wasalam in the well. And after many years, when he's sitting on the throne and his brothers are in front of him, and they realize that this is the same brother we threw in the well. Today, from throwing him in the well, he is sitting on the throne. He said, لا تصريب عليكم اليوم. No reproach upon you. يغفر الله لكم. Almighty Allah تبارك وتعالى will forgive you. That's the answer Nabi Kareem gave to them. To be kind, to be polite to the non-Muslims. And the fourth type of relationship is mu'amalat, dealings with non-Muslims. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with non-Muslims. We did the hadith last week. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even purchased from non-Muslims. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was once in need of food. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went and took his armor, he pawned it by a non-Muslim, by a Jew, in exchange of some grains he wanted to feed his wife and his family. So these are four type of relationship with non-Muslims. Now, all relationship with a non-Muslim is permissible with the exception of a close bosom relationship. And this sometimes, in business relationship, you stray away from maintaining a strict business relationship. And when the parties take place, or sometime when Easter time comes, or when there are certain festivals, or Christian time, when there is time for Christmas, and that's a time people in the name of business, they gather with their colleagues, and they will violate all laws and principles of Sharia. That having a close bosom relationship where you don't maintain your Islamic values and principles, you could stray on that. Now Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh, by way of example, he continues and explains how Sharia recognizes the ownership of a non-Muslim. Already a non-Muslim, but if he owned anything, then Sharia would recognize it, that yes, you are the owner and you could deal with such a person. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayh presents two examples of two sahaba, great illustrious sahaba of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One is Hazrat Suhaib Rumi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Many people think Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a Roman, and that is not true. Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu was not a Roman, he was an Arab. And a little bit background before I come to the point. Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he's an Arab. His father is from the tribe of Numair, and his mother is from the tribe of Tamim. Both of them are Arab tribes, and Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu was from that progeny, was a pure Arab. His father Sinan, he was a governor on behalf of the Persian Empire in a town in Iraq called Ubullah. At that time, there were two empires, the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire. Two powerful empires. They used to fight with each other, superpowers of the time. And Allah refers to it in the Quran al-Kareem, Alif Lam Mim Ghulibat ar-Rum. Allah Ta'ala says that the Roman Empire has been defeated, referring to by the Persian Empire, but a time will come, the Roman Empire will defeat the Persian Empire. So, it so happened that the Persians, they attacked the Romans. Or the Persians, they attacked the Roman Empire, and Sinan, or Hazrat Suhaib's mother, she and some family people, they went to another town in Iraq by the name of Thani. They went for a holiday, they went for some kind of entertainment. And Suhaib, the young boy, joined his mother. So it was on that place that the Romans attacked the Persians in that same town. And Suhaib, the young boy, was taken as a captive, as a slave. So he stayed among the Romans and he grew up with them. He also looked like a Roman. He had like reddish hair, reddish face. And because he stayed with them, he started, his accent turned out to be like the accent of the Romans. He stayed with the Roman people. He saw the ins and outs of the Roman people. He saw the harsh culture of the Roman people. And behind his mind, he knew that he's an Arab. He needed to get away from here. So one day he heard a fortune teller telling that soon a prophet is going to emerge in the Arab lands. And يُخْرِجُ النَّاسِ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. He's going to take the people out from the darkness and lead them towards guidance and good. So Suhaib thought, I am an Arab, and this fortune teller have said this. Not that you should believe in what fortune tellers say, but that was the norm at that time. So he thought to himself that I should do something to leave this place. He was frustrated. He saw all the evil that is taking place in the Roman Empire, in the Roman culture. So one day, he decided and he ran away. And his aim was to go back to Arab lands. He came to Makkah al-Mukarramah and he formed an alliance with a person by the name of Abdullah ibn Jad'an. That was the custom and the norm of that time. When a foreigner comes in your land, then you build an alliance with a local person to give you some kind of protection and some kind of support. So he built support with a person by the name of Abdullah ibn Jad'an. And Suhaib, as a foreigner, he need to survive in a foreign, although it was the land of his forefathers, but for him coming from the Roman land, and that way he was born and brought up, it was like a foreign land, he needed to work very, very hard. He exerted himself, and he was a very astute businessman. And within a short period of time, he built a huge empire for himself as a foreigner. And we know, when foreigners are desperate, they work hard. And because of that, the hard workings, then Allah give them barakah as well. On one occasion, Umar radiallahu ta'ala told to the local people, local citizens of Madinah Munawwara, at that time, there were a lot of foreigners. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala even told the local people, be careful. You local people are becoming lazy. Foreigners are working hard, and because of the economic power, they will start dominating the economy. And that's what happens. Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala built a huge empire for himself. But he remembered what that fortune teller told him about the final prophet coming out. One day, whilst on his errand, he heard about a person claiming prophethood. He decided to go and meet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He went to the place where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, and by the door was another Sahabi who also accepted Islam in the beginning stage of Islam, Ammar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Both of them went, they accepted Islam by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when the time came for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make hijrat, now all these years, Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, because he accepted Islam in the beginning stage of Islam, he underwent oppression, he became a victim of persecution. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrat, now the kuffar, they started censoring the people that who's going to make hijrat, who's going to leave Makkah Mukarramah. And Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala was known to be a foreigner, so they censored his movements even more. So on one occasion, one night, they surrounded his house. They thought that that's a night Suhaib is going to leave. And he really planned to leave that particular night, and they surrounded his house. Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala adopted a strategy. In many parts of the night, he kept on waking up as though he's going to a toilet, relieving himself, he creates the impression he's got diarrhea. So guards that were there, they commented to each other, we don't have to worry about guarding him. See, he didn't bring iman and faith in our idols. See what the idols, Lat and Uzza, did to him. They brought diarrhea to him. So they decided, we don't have to care. That idols now will take care, so they slept away. The ideal opportunity for Suhaib, he woke up in the middle of the night when the guards were unaware, he ran away. When the guard woke up, they saw Suhaib is not there. And they started looking for him. They surrounded him. Then Suhaib, he was a very good archer. So he had his quiver with all the spears in him, and he told to the disbelievers that if any one of you come next to me, and you'll come to take me, I will use every spear here and I will kill every one of you. And they believed him because he was an expert archer. So he asked them, what do you people want? So they told him, you were a foreigner. You came to our land and you made money out of us. You used our blood, you used our sweat, you made an empire for yourself. And now you're leaving Makkah and you're going to another land. We cannot allow you that. So Suhaib asked, what do you people want? He said, well, do you want my wealth? You want my wealth, take it away. He had a huge empire. Just in the pursuit of haqq, in the pursuit of truth, Suhaib radiallahu anhu told them, so and so place is my wealth, go and take the entire wealth, leave my road free to go to Madinah Munawwara. He goes to Madinah to Munawwara. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Quba. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made one statement. Now nobody told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about what happened to Suhaib and what happened with the kuffar in Makkah al-Mukarramah, what he has done. The moment Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made the statement, Rabihal bayh ya Aba Yahya, Rabihal bayh ya Aba Yahya. What a profitable business you have made, oh Abu Yahya, referring to Suhaib, that was his kunyat, the second name. So Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala said to himself, I didn't tell Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what happened with me and the kuffar. Nobody else but Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam must have informed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is upon that Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala revealed this verse, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مِنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. There are certain people, they spend their wealth in the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The purpose is not only this materialistic world. In the pursuit of haqq, in the pursuit of truth, they are always spending the wealth, but they are not prepared to compromise on that. So this is Suhaib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi refers to him. Now the purpose, the wealth that he has given, was given to a kuffar. And they became the owners of it. Although they have done it in an incorrect way, in an unjust way, but Imam Bukhari rahmatullah refers to one incident of his. The second incident Imam Bukhari rahmatullah refers to of another sahabi, Hadhrat Hakim ibn Hizam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hakim ibn Hizam, Hakim his name, Hizam is his father's name, and Hizam is the brother of Hadhrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. Khadija, the Mubarak wife of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her name was Khadija bint Khuwaylid. So, Hakim ibn Hizam ibn Khuwaylid. So, he was the nephew of Hadrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was 5 years elder than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did not accept Islam in the beginning stages. One night before the conquest of Makkatul Mukarramah, that night before, three sahaba accepted Islam. One was Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hadrat Sahabi Hakim ibn Hizam and Budail ibn Waraqa. These three Sahaba, they accepted Islam. So Hakim ibn Hizam, he's the one and only person known in history who was born in the actual Kaaba Sharif. The actual Kaaba Sharif, he was born. When his mother was pregnant with him, in the time of Jahiliyyah, they used to open the doors of the Kaaba a few times in a week, and the women, men used to go inside the Kaaba Sharif and make dua and worship, whatever the case may be. So, Hakim ibn Hizam's mother, she happened to go in the Kaaba Sharif. She did not have enough time to leave the Kaaba Sharif before she gave birth in the Kaaba Sharif. A leather mat was brought and was placed for her, and that's where Hakim radiallahu was born, inside the Kaaba Sharif. No one before that was born in the Kaaba, no one after that was born in the Kaaba, there was Hakim ibn Hizam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. After he accepted Islam, he used to cry a lot. So his sons came and asked the father, oh, our father, why are you crying so much? Why do you cry so much? He mentioned, لَقَدْ أَبْكَانِ أُمُورٌ كَثِيرًا. Many, many things make me cry. Among the things is, firstly, that I took part in the battle of Badr, battle of Uhud against the Muslims. I regret that. Second, I trusted the leaders of the Makkah Mukarramah, the Kufar at that time, thinking that they are on the truth. But I followed them, meanwhile, I was Muslim. And third, he refers to, he was the owner of Darun Nadwa. Darun Nadwa was a place where the Kufar of Makkah, that was the parliament, they used to gather in that house, they should plan and plot. That was the place where they planned and plotted to assassinate Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Darun Nadwa, where the Hatim area is, directly in line with the Hatim area, that's where the Darun Nadwa is. And up till today, the signs of Darun Nadwa are still there. Ulama mentioned when you stand by those two pillars and you make dua, the dua the mustajab and accepted in that place there. So, he decided to sell that Darun Nadwa for 100,000 dirhams or dinars. So somebody told him, why are you doing that? That's a parliament, that's a very strategic position, strategic building. Anything that is strategic right in the center of the town parliament, who sells that? So he said, no, I'm selling it. Every time the Darun Nadwa is there and I think, and I'm the owner of it, I think of the wrong that I've done the time of Jahiliyyah and it bothers me. I need to compensate for that. So he decided to sell it and say, I make your witness that the same house that became a place to plan and plot in the assassination of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I'm selling that, giving this all this money in the part of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala in exchange of a palace in Jannah. There's a Hakim ibn Hizam radiallahu ta'ala know. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullah also refers to a hadith about him. Very quickly we will do the hadith about Hakim ibn Hizam radiallahu ta'ala know. Hakim ibn Hizam says that he once told to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulallah, O Prophet of Allah, Ara'ita umuran kuntu atahannath aw atahannatu biha fil jahiliyyah. O Prophet of Allah, in a time of jahiliyyah, in a pre-Islamic era, we used to do acts of virtue, means silatin, we used to maintain family ties. And ataqa, free slaves, sadaqa, giving sadaqa and charity. And one outstanding quality of Hakim ibn Hizam, especially now being Hajj season, is that he was very much closely, he had a feeling for the Kaaba Sharif because he was born there. And Darun Nadwa was also right there. Any haji that was stranded during the Hajj time with his own fund, he should help and assist the such hajis. So he asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the time of Jahiliyyah, any good that we have done, hal li fiha ajar, we'll get ajar and reward for what we did in the time of Jahiliyyah while we're non-Muslim. Any ajar and good we did that, we'll get ajar for that. Qala Hakim. Hakim says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Qala Rasulullah, aslamta ala ma salafa laka min khair. Allah blessed you with Islam. One explanation of the hadith is, Allah blessed you with Islam. It is of the good what you have done in the time of Jahiliyyah. And with the barakat of the good that you have done at that time, Allah blessed you and gave you tawfiq to accept Islam. And another explanation to this is, that there is one hadith wherein Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reported to have mentioned, Al-Islam yahdimu ma kana qabla. When a person accepts Islam, whatever you've done in that time of Jahiliyyah before accepting Islam, Allah forgives for everything. Now, according to some ulama, this is with the exception of good deeds. Wrong deeds are deleted and obliterated, but good deeds, what a person did in the time of Jahiliyyah after having accepted Islam, that won't be obliterated. It will remain and the person will get ajar and he'll get the reward for that. Anyway, just in conclusion, the time is up. But same Hakim ibn Hizam radiallahu ta'ala who, on one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to ask Nabi sallallahu for something. He was in need of some financial help and assistance. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa gave him one time, gave him the second time. Then the third time Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa told him, gave him advice. See, very easy to ask people for help and assistance, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa then advised him, Ya Hakim, innal maal hulwun khazir. Oh Hakim, this wealth, this dunya, the things of this materialistic world is sweet and it is green. Very sweet, very attractive. And Faman, that person who gets this wealth بغير إشرافين, without having any desire for it. Somebody just came and gave you something. Then بُورِكَ لَهُ فِي, Allah will give you barakah in that. But if a person desires for this wealth and then somebody gives it to him, it is for his own nafs, then there won't be barakah for him in that. Nabi advises to Hakim radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hakim radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions, Hakim ibn Hizam says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from this day onwards, I will never ask anybody anything. One time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave advice to a sahabi, and how strict he was on practicing on this commitment that he has made, that in throughout his life, not once he asked anybody anything. To the extent the Muhaddithin mentioned that if he was sitting on a camel and his stick fell down, or his sword fell down, somebody was nearby, he could just give him the stick, because he took a vow with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he would not ask anybody anything. He wouldn't ask anybody to even pass the stick over to him. He would demount, collect the stick, and he would mount on that animal again. So this is Hakim ibn Hizam radiallahu ta'ala in the time of Jahiliyyah, being a non-Muslim. He owned things, Shariat also recognizes that. And these are the points that Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi referred to, inshallah, on the issue of the skin and the animals and that, inshallah, will continue next week. Allah grant us tawfiq, and grant us tawfiq and hidayah to practice on these great values that Islam has taught us on how we should be dealing with non-Muslims. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.